Lord, when we feel the mocking of our enemies, when we feel the struggle of being resident aliens and not at home in heaven, when we feel the suffering and persecution that comes for righteousness and being identified with you, we ask that you would help us to remember the goodness of your justice, the ways in which you promise to comfort and strengthen us and to carry us on. We thank you, O Lord, that you are the Lord of hosts, a captain of a myriad of myriads, thousands of thousands, 100 million angels at your right hand ready to do your bidding. In doing so, ministering to your people day and night according to your promises and your goodness to us. In this one aspect of your strength and in many others, we praise you. And we ask that now as we hear your word and your blessing upon us through Jesus Christ, you would humble us and remind us that we have these privileges not because of anything good in us, but because of all the good that is in you. We ask that you would humble us and you would also encourage us and cause us to persevere in this faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's hear God's word now in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Amen. Please be seated. Now, some of you have been gifted with exceptionally high levels of contentment, so maybe what I'm about to say doesn't apply to you, but I'm guessing that for most of us, there is at least one moment in this last week where we found ourselves uncomfortable and frustrated and at our wits' end and in some sort of trouble. Now, maybe it was a moment, just a passing moment, or maybe for you, this is one moment of a series of moments, even a chapter, an episode in a series of many episodes that have been going on for years. Maybe you find yourself in moments when it feels like the troubles that you face are never going to end, that it's never going to be over, and you're losing heart. And in some ways, Israel was feeling this way in Psalm 137. People in a foreign land being mocked by their enemies, wondering how God's promises would ever hold true. And we can feel that way sometimes too. And it's into that context that the Apostle Paul speaks this blessing on us, that the Lord, the Spirit of God, delivers to us these words of truth and encouragement. And I hope that they are encouraging to you tonight. This blessing teaches us two things, which I'd like to focus on this evening. The first is regards God's work, and the second, we could say, refers to the work or the God who works. So first, the work of God or God's work, and then the God who works. Let's look at each of those tonight and see what the Spirit says to the churches. So with regard to the God who works, we see, the work of God, God's work for us. Look at verse 17. Paul prays, may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father do something. And what is the thing that he wants to have happen or see happen? Comfort your hearts and establish them in every good word and work. We, in other words, can look to God for our strength and comfort. We can look to God for our strength and comfort. Why? Number one, because God can comfort your heart. He can. Consider this. First of all, who knows your heart like God does? You can have people who love you very much and care about you, but don't really understand what's going on. They have a hard time comforting you because they don't understand. Right? They don't understand the relationships, the circumstances. Even if you explain it, it never really fully connects. Even our best friends and our closest confidants still fall short of being perfect comforters, as thankful as we are for them. God is different, though. No one knows your heart like God does. He can label, if he desired, your emotions with exact precision. He knows exactly what is going on underneath them and how and why you feel what you feel. He knows your thinking. He knows your values. He knows the bad things. He knows the places where you are arrogant and ignorant. He knows your errors and your idols, your blind spots, and the ways that you're getting it wrong. And he also knows the places you're getting it right, because those are things he himself has put into you. He knows the treasures of your heart and your love for him and your desire for godliness. He sees those things and he knows them. He knows them better than you do. He knows our hearts, and so he can comfort our hearts. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4 says of God, he is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. I think that most of us are probably prone to giving God some of our troubles, but not all of our troubles. But that doesn't make much sense if God is a comfort in all of our troubles. He's there for everything and in every way. More than that, not only does he know our heart and know our circumstances and troubles, but the scriptures also teach us that he is greater than all of our troubles, which is a comfort in itself. Isaiah 51, 12 says this, I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of man who dies, of the Son of Man who is made like the grass? Right? Has anyone here been afraid of grass before? Hopefully not, right? Grass is small and significant. It rises up and then it's gone, right? It dies away. We're perhaps at the very beginning of this, even now, as we see all the weeds and grasses that have sprung up over the last few months, and some of them are starting to die. It didn't take very long. What was once bright and green, quickly turns. Mankind is like this. Right? Sometimes in our troubles and trials of life, we look at people or the institutions people create, and we lose our breath and we lose our mind and we say, what can be done? I'm lost. But Isaiah says, the Lord says in Isaiah 51, 12, I am he who comforts you. Why are you afraid of man? Man dies. I don't die. The Lord doesn't die. And in fact, here in 2 Thessalonians, notice, and we'll think about him in a little bit more later, but it says that God, he loved us and gave us an eternal comfort. How is it that he can give us an eternal comfort? Because he himself is eternal. It is a comfort from God. He not only knows our troubles, beloved, but he is greater than our troubles. I'll mention one more thing, one more reason we can remind ourselves why God can comfort our hearts. And it's this. Not only does God know our hearts, not only does God know our troubles, not only is he greater than our troubles, but he is also willing and desiring to go through our troubles with us in even the hardest places. Remember Psalm 23, right? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. The psalmist says, your rod and your staff, what do? They comfort me. They comfort me. God doesn't just stand by and watch us and rah, rah, rah us on. He goes with us. When Israel was going through the desert, Deuteronomy describes that period of time even as God carrying them. I love that image. God carrying them through the wilderness. Even though sometimes they were kicking and screaming, doing all kinds of horrible things and making it perhaps difficult, humanly speaking, God did it nevertheless, and he was willing to and he wanted to. He can comfort you, and he wants to comfort you, and he's greater than all of our troubles. So that's this blessing here. That is this prayer here. The second part of it is that a second part of the work of God here is the strengthening of our hearts, or the establishing of our hearts, establishing them in every good work and every good word. To establish or to strengthen, it means to firmly fix in place. And it has an inward element too here, right? To establish one in every good work and word has something to do with knowing the right thing and then doing the right thing. In times of trouble, it can be easy to waffle on what the right thing is. The pressures are so great sometimes that we begin to think, well, is it really important that I do all of this that God is asking me to do? Maybe I can do some of it, perhaps. We begin to compromise in ways that we perhaps wouldn't otherwise under less difficulty. When we are troubled, sometimes inwardly, we often need perseverance. We need steel in our spines. We need to be strong and to keep going. Maybe it's an external thing you have in your mind right now, or maybe it's an internal one. Maybe there's an old habit you're trying to break, a sin you're trying to uproot, and you're realizing, perhaps again, that this is going to be hard work, that it's going to take time and perseverance. Where are you going to get that from? Where are you going to get the will and the desire to keep going even when it's really, really tough? And when you keep bumping up against yourself and your flesh over and over again? Well, the answer the scriptures point us to is to God, that he is the one who establishes us in every good work and word. All that we say, all that we do, he can strengthen us. Psalm 119 verse 50 talks about this. Let me turn there briefly. Psalm 119 verse 50 says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life." This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. In the midst of trials and difficulties, we look to these promises of God where he says, put on my armor and I will protect you. Walk in my strength and you will be strong even if you are weak. And God can strengthen our heart. He does strengthen our heart. Who is it that's powerful enough to change our wills or give us new desires and new love or to give us clarity in tough situations? Or to put people and resources at our disposal for us to use? God. No one can do this like he can. Sure, you can go and find a little bit of help here or a little bit of help there, but anything that you find is from him. So instead of wandering around on your own, why not just go to the source in the first place? Go to him in prayer, go to him in his word and seek him. Seek him to establish you. Seek him to make you strong, to persevere you even under great trouble. Now, thinking about these things, I think some of us, myself included, have some repenting to do. Despite the clarity that God gives to us, the various helps and advantages that he gives to us and provides for us, some of us simply feel like people that don't have any help, even though we do. We live like people that don't have God on our side, even though we do. We live as people that are lacking, even though we are not. Why don't we trust him when he says he'll comfort us? Why don't we trust him when he says he'll strengthen us? That's a good question. You should think about it. The answer probably varies from person to person. There are particular fears and doubts we have, but it does come down to that at the base of it, I think. Fears and doubts. Doubts about God and things that cause us to fear about the world that don't really deserve our fear. It comes down to this question about faith. We don't believe he will help, or that he wants to help, or that he can help. But consider, for example, some of the stories that we have in the Bible of God doing this exact thing in great, great times of difficulty. Job, maybe. Did God comfort Job and establish and strengthen his heart for every good work and word through his great trial? He did. It wasn't maybe always exactly what Job wanted, but it was always what Job needed. He gave to him everything. He never left him and abandoned Job. Or think about David, right? For a long time, this anointed king, not living a life like an anointed king, running around in the desert, hiding, feeling threatened, abandoned, and all kinds of, we've got all kinds of psalms, right, that speak of this frustration and betrayal and all of these things. Who upheld David all that time? Who comforted him in times of great trials and troubles? Who helped to establish David for every good work and word so that, for example, he spared Saul's life at various times? And there are lots of other good examples, too. Think about Paul, the one who writes these letters, one who was formerly against and persecuting the Lord Jesus. And now, in the midst of many persecutions, he upholds this man. A man who is hated by many, a man who often finds his life in danger. And inwardly, we read in the scriptures that there were times when he was preaching where his knees were knocking, and his voice was shaking, and he was nervous and scared. Guess who Paul went to? In moments like that, when he needed to preach and couldn't quite bring himself to do it, on the Lord. And who sustained him? The Lord. The Lord sustained him, and now we have all these amazing letters, his life story, and the words of the Spirit recording these for us to encourage us, to remind us that the words that are said here by the apostle and the apostle's own example, his life proves it, that the Lord does what he says he will do here. So this is the work of God. He comforts our hearts and he establishes them. He strengthens them as well. Now let's finish by thinking about the God who works. To give us even more confidence in these promises that are given for us here, consider the one who makes the promises. First of all, we are told that it is our Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. Lord reminds us that he is king. He has authority and power. He has, after all, ascended to the hand of God. He rules from the throne in heaven. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. As the Lord, he commands. As the Lord, he equips. As the Lord, he protects. Jesus, his name, means one who saves. He's a Joshua. Remember Joshua in the Old Testament, this great king or king-like person who went and was a great warrior and defeated many of God's enemies and protected his people? Jesus saves us. He is the Christ as well. He is God's anointed son. He's like David, one who had been anointed to sit on the throne of David, one who was to fulfill these promises of the covenants of old. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, that one All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Right? That kind of authority and power is in the Lord himself. We can trust him. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. We can trust him. Also, we get this, the scriptures say here, from God, our Father. An amazing statement that the one who made the heavens and the earth is someone that we can refer to as our Father. Not only the one who made us, in whose image we are made, but also the one who has promised us an inheritance. What kind of an inheritance? An inheritance, Peter says, that is imperishable, undefiled, and kept in heaven for you. Unfading as well, I forgot one. This amazing inheritance, what right do we have to this inheritance? Well, through his Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us so that we might receive these things. This is the one, Father and Son, in perfect unity, who desires to give you comfort, who desires to establish and strengthen you. You are not going to some sort of, this is not a penny in the well, right? This is not a wish, not a dream, not a star. This is God who offers these things to you and who promises to do them. Not only do we have these titles and names that remind us of these things, but we have this final clause of his previous actions toward us. Number one, who loved us. Who loved us. That willingness to walk with us and lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. Why? Out of love. When you have had in your lives people and friends that have come alongside of you in really dark times, in really difficult times, why did they do that? Because of love. That's the same reason our Savior walks with us in the hardest of times as well. He loved us, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort, I spoke about that already, and good hope through grace. Through grace. Because of the grace of Jesus Christ that is given to us, because of the rescue that we have that's not based on our works but his, we can have a good hope. Our relationship with this almighty, all-powerful Lord and King is not based on the level of our obedience. We could say, in some ways, almost everything I've said before already, but if we were missing this one piece through grace, we'd be missing something very significant. Because I could argue this point that God is great and God is powerful and God is strong and God can help you and all of these sorts of things, but if we are not reconciled to him, or if he is going to give us those powers and that comfort on the basis of how well we perform, it's not going to go well for us. Instead of finding comfort and hope, we find God's wrath and punishment. We find a fear of judgment. Instead of being established in every good work, we might just run for our lives. But instead, he comes to us in his grace. And because it's in his grace, because he's the one who establishes the relationship, it's a good hope. It's a solid hope. It's an eternal comfort because it's an eternal relationship that God has guaranteed with the blood of his own Son. So again, as we think about Psalm 119, verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction that your promise gives me life. It's a promise of grace, and grace that includes comfort, grace that includes strength, grace that includes perseverance for continuing on the way. In all of this, and I want to close with this, when our hearts are weak, when we're feeling shaky, when we don't know what to do, let us remember to turn to our Lord and Savior. And remember that we can. He receives throughout the Gospels the weakest, most outcast, despicable, broken, stinkiest people. And he says, come unto me, all who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he gives those people rest. He heals their bodies. He heals their souls. He works in their lives in amazing ways. He gives them comfort. Let's not be like those people on the crowd, some of those crowds who simply stood by and watched other people receive the miraculous healing and salvation of the Lord. Instead, let's go to the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, let me touch your robe. Lord Jesus, hear me, a sinner, because he promises he will, and he'll give us this comfort, and he'll establish our hearts. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your work in our lives and the ways that you do not let us go. We thank you that you hold us in your hand and that you promise that nothing can undo that, that as your sheep hear your voice, they respond and they follow you. Oh Lord, we ask that you would be our good shepherd. And in the various trials and temptations that we face in our lives, that we are facing right now and anticipate in the coming days, we ask that you would indeed walk with us out of your great love for us, a love for us on which is eternal. You would give to us an eternal comfort, that you would calm us down and strengthen our hearts and help us to press on into in godliness and in the newness of life, knowing who you are and your promises to us. Let that be our comfort in our afflictions. May your promises give us life. We pray this in the name of our Lord. Amen.